The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of Christ.
Good God.
Church, can I invite you to stand as we have the gospel reading? Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. To Christ our Savior. Reading from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found pregnant with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Let's join together in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us to this Christmas day with your promises. Promises that have been fulfilled 2,000 years ago. So be with us, Holy Spirit, this morning as we reflect on your word, that the meaning of your promise may be made fully known to us, that we may experience it every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Blessed Christmas. Wow, what an amazing Christmas this is, you know. And, you know, we have started celebrating Christmas already since last Saturday, isn't it? With Dover celebrate Christmas. And we have had this amazing carnival where the whole Dover descended upon SJSM Village. And we saw so many people, whether they are residents of Dover, whether they are family members of our nursing home residents, whether they are people who have even come from further abroad, because they have been invited by our church members. We had such great fun together. And I really want to thank God, because I believe God is doing something very special. And I spoke to quite a number of people from outside the church, and they said, you know, this is wonderful what we are doing here. And it is not just about buying things, about shopping and about things like that, but it is about encounter, being with one another. And I really saw how families came together. I really want to thank everyone in SJSM who have been a volunteer, not only in selling food and hosting games, but more importantly in making friends. Because I believe that is what God has called us to do here. And as Pastor Victor has given us that word, radical hospitality, I believe we are really lifted out this year. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And even yesterday, when we had our Christmas Eve gospel services, spoke to so many people whose lives were touched. Even our speaker, Reverend Timothy Ewing Chow, he had relatives that flew in all the way from Winnipeg, Canada. And some of them have not been to church either before or have not been to church for a very long time. And the gospel that was preached, that was acted out, that was sung, and that was read has touched their lives even. So today we are gathered here on Christmas Day, and we have been celebrating, and we are so blessed by what Christ has done with for us 2,000 years ago when He came as a little baby. But you know, sometimes the problem with us as Christians is that we only think of Jesus as the little baby. And we sometimes disconnect within our mind. What can this little baby do for us? Who is this little baby is to us? And how are we to relate to Him as a little baby? But of course, that is provided you have not really read the gospel. But if you have, then you realize that this baby didn't remain a little baby. But when He was born, He was given the name Jesus. And the gospel even tells us that His birth fulfills the Old Testament promise given something like 700 years ago before Christ in Isaiah chapter 7, where it says His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, sometimes when I was young, I was always thinking, wow, Jesus got a lot of names. Got Jesus, got Emmanuel. So I wonder whether His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, Joseph, or something like that. But that's not the way it is. When the Bible says His name shall be called Emmanuel, He shall be called Wonderful Counselor and all that, it doesn't mean that He has got a very long name. But it means that this is the meaning of His life. This is who He is. So I want to reflect with us a little bit today. What does it mean for Jesus to be our Emmanuel? What does it mean for Jesus to be God with us, with you, and with me? Not only during Christmas time, but through every season of our life. What does it mean for us to know and experience Jesus as Emmanuel in our daily life? So to help us with this, I want to offer us a little simple way to remember this. I'd like to think of it as the ABC of Emmanuel. A for agenda. What is Emmanuel's agenda? B for bigness. How big is Emmanuel? And C for compassion. What do we understand about Emmanuel that helps us to know that He has compassion for each and every one of us? First of all, what does it mean when we think about Emmanuel in terms of His agenda? You know, sometimes we feel very frightened to come to Jesus. And I have experienced that myself. There was a period of time when I was falling away from the Lord. And I was even afraid to go to church. Because in my life, from Monday to Saturday, I was very far away from God. My thoughts were very confused. I was faced with a lot of frustration. And as a person who is faced with a lot of pressure, a lot of bad words came out of my mouth. Whenever I felt frustrated, I would curse, I would swear, you know. And I was afraid to go to church, you know why? In case something frustrates me happen while I'm in church, and then some XYZ comes out of my mouth. And then I'm afraid my pastor will throw me out. I'm afraid that my mother will never talk to me again. And I'm most afraid that my girlfriend at that time, who is now seated here, she's my wife now, will never talk to me ever again. So I was very frightened because I think of God as someone who is watching over me with and carrying a cane. And whenever I do something naughty or I do something that is out of line with His will, the cane will come down. Ouch, I will go, you know. And in order to avoid getting getting ouch, I would try to stay away from God. You know, God, I approach you from a distance, it's okay, but don't try to get too near. In case He hears what I say, in case He see what I do. And in my simplistic mind, as if I stay far away enough, He will not see and He will not hear. But today I want to share with you, Jesus came precisely so that God will not be far away. Jesus came as a little baby so that God can be as near to us as possible. Who can possibly be nearer than a baby? Everyone who sees a baby, you know, everybody want to carry the baby, right? Everybody want to hug the baby close to you, right? Right? And there's nothing that can be closer to us, that can be more accessible, that can is more harmless than a little baby. But very often when we think about God, when we think about Emmanuel, we think about judgment. But let's make no mistake about it. Judgment is real. For all that we do on earth, there will be a day of accountability. And the Bible is very clear in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Judgment is real. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 25 that when he comes in his glory and with his angels, he will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those with whom he is pleased. And we'll talk a little bit more about who are those with whom he is pleased. And you will separate the sheep from the goats. And the goats are the ones who have rejected Jesus, who say that, Jesus is nothing. Oh, Jesus is nonsense. Oh, Jesus, I don't need him. There will be a day of separation. And the Bible also tells us when it comes to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, that there will be a second death, a lake of fire, and death and Hades will be thrown into it. But not just death and Hades as spiritual powers and spiritual forces, but those who have aligned themselves, who have spent their lives under the influence and following willfully and intentionally the forces of darkness, which the Bible describes as the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, murderers, liars. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So there's no question about it. There will be a day of judgment. But here's the good news I have for you. And this is so important that we are not confused. Judgment will come at the end. God did not send his son into the world. Christ was not born to bring to us judgment now. We are living in that season of salvation history where we are told there will be judgment. And this is to warn us not to take God for granted. But judgment is not now. God sent his son not to condemn the world. John chapter 3 verse 16, many of us know. But how many of you know John chapter 3 verse 17, which says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Christ came, Emmanuel came, so that we are not judged. Now is not a season for judgment. Now is the time to respond to his invitation to be saved. And that's why even in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, when Christ's coming was foretold as the Messiah, Messiah or Christ comes to be on our side. He has not come to separate us. He has not come to judge us, to cast us out. He has come to be on our side. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, this word counseling in biblical terms is not about psychotherapy. This word counselor is a legal term. That means if you are accused of wrongdoing and you are being dragged to court, what do? You hire a lawyer, right? Someone that will defend you, someone that is on your side, someone that will hear your side of the story, someone that will understand you, why you did what you did, and will put your case forward before the judge. So today, Christ has not come to be the judge. Yes, when he comes again, yes, there will be judgment. When we die, yes, there will be judgment. But today, as sure as you are breathing and living, he has come to be on your side as your counselor, a wonderful counselor, because he understands. Because no matter what you have done, no matter how far away you have been, no matter how much you have misunderstood God, he is not turned away from you. In fact, the name Jesus, which in the Hebrew is Yeshua. And you know, I love to go to the Middle East to worship with the Christians because they worship in Arabic. And Jewish Christians also worship in Hebrew. And they call Jesus, not Jesus, but they call him Yeshua. And there's something beautiful about words that end with R. Because you can say, Yeshua. Can you try saying Yeshua with all the passion in your heart that comes out at the end of the syllable? Yeshua! Can you try that? It's actually quite therapeutic, you know. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yeshua! Wow. What a beautiful name that is. Yeshua. And when I worship with my Egyptian Christians, I don't know what the words of the song means, but when it comes to Yeshua, I say, yes, hallelujah. That word I understand. But you know what that word means? That word means, Yeshua means God saves. Yes, God will judge. But today, God is here to save. And that is the assurance that He has given to you and me. So if you are trying to stay as far away from God as possible, today please hear the voice of the Lord. I have come to save. Anyone who believes in Him, who takes Him at His word, that yes, this is the day of salvation. John 3:16 says, He shall not perish, but he shall have eternal life. That is the promise of God. His agenda is not to condemn, but His agenda is to save. But there's another reason sometimes we misunderstand Emmanuel. When we look at the little baby, we say, what can a little baby do? I'm in financial trouble. Can this little baby poop money? Little babies poop, right? They poop a lot. Parents spend a lot of money in diapers, right? But you're not going to find any money in those diapers. In fact, those diapers cost a lot of money. So I may be in pain, but what does this baby know? Every little thing, the baby cries. That's why we call them cry babies, right? He's such a cry baby. How can he save me? How big is he? But let's not make any mistake. Christ didn't come to be born as a baby in order to remain a baby. There are some denominations and perhaps some cults of the Christian faith that worship Jesus permanently in the image of a little baby. Now, I think to some extent that may be true, Son of God, you know, born at Christmas, but that is not the full expression of Jesus. He is not that little baby. In fact, just to give you a sense of how big God is, right? Isaiah chapter 9 again, verse 6. His name shall be called Mighty God. Now, I don't have the James Earl Jones voice. Mighty God. My voice is not low enough. But you just try to imagine, right? He is Mighty God, not little baby. He is Everlasting Father. This is the Father that never gives up on us. And I like that picture that Deaconess Laura shared with us about children playing in the playground and a child gets stuck. All this is not arranged. She doesn't know what I'm going to preach and I didn't ask her to say that. But when the child is stuck up there and he cannot get down and another child says, jump, I will catch you. Do you think you will jump? I don't think so. I think I'll wait for the fire brigade to come. But when is that child's father, who is in the eyes of the child, the biggest person he knows, whose arms are strong, whose smile is reassuring, whose chest is big, and is ready to catch us when we fall. That is Everlasting Father. And even if in our naughtiness, we say, I hate you, Daddy. I don't love you anymore. I love Mommy more. Sometimes that happens, yeah. I don't know, is it because Mommy, I don't know. Even when we, in our childishness and in our immaturity, reject Him, our Father remains our Everlasting Father. His fatherhood is eternal. His hurt, His heart bleeds when we reject Him. But unlike our earthly Father, when we reject Him, He does not reject us. His fatherly love is from everlasting to everlasting. That's how big He is. You know, the psalmist says, every time I look up at the stars, I look at the work of your fingers, the moon and all the stars which you have set in place. And we are talking about the time of King David, more than 3,000 years ago. They do not have the benefit of the James Webb Space Telescope to see to the far reaches of the universe. They could only see what their eyes could see on a dark, starry night. And even with the naked eyes, we could see how big God is. Because if the universe out there is so big and it is so bright and it is so beautiful, how much bigger, how much brighter, how much more awesome must be that God that created that universe? Amen. And yet, this big God cares for me. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? So big and yet not far away. So big and yet not frightening. So big and yet cares for us. You know, Psalm 139 is one of my favorite Psalms because it tells us about what God thinks about us. God in his hugeness, God in his bigness. He says, the psalmist says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. That is how big God is. You think a lot about God. God thinks about you far more. And sometimes I wonder, wow, God, you know, he must be very busy. He got so many people's prayers to listen to. You know, I don't know whether some of you saw that comedy, Bruce Almighty. I don't know where I saw that movie where this guy, you know, he was very upset with God. He felt that God wasn't taking care of him. And God decided to respond to his complaint by saying, okay, if you think that I'm doing a bad job at God, how about we switch roles? God says, how about I go on vacation? And how about you be God for one day? And in that one day, Bruce was overwhelmed by all the demands, by all the requests, by all the contradictions, you know, of people who asked him for help. And before that day was over, Bruce surrendered. Bruce said, God, I think you better take your job back. Being God is no fun. So that is how big God is. God is so big that he is not overwhelmed by your requests and your requests and your requests, even though your request contradicts his request. God is able to answer both prayers, but in such great wisdom that God is able to hold all things together. And yet, this great and awesome God is not awful. He's awesome, but not awful. He is fear-inspiring, but he is not frightening. He comes to us with his gentle presence. That is Emmanuel's bigness. So if the hands of Emmanuel are strong enough to hold together the whole universe, brothers and sisters, surely those same hands, the hands of Emmanuel, are big enough to take care of you and to take care of me. To be very frank, I want to share with you, every time I stand up to preach, and my wife knows this very well, and as I prepare to preach, I go into deep anxiety because I'm preaching the words of God. Who am I? How dare I presume to come here and preach the word of God? No matter how much I study, no matter how much I pray, I don't feel that I'm adequate, that I'm able to represent a God so big. And even as I think about my ministry, even as I think about my life, my time here with SJSM, I would never imagine that I'm doing what I'm doing today. And how long can I do it? Do I have it? Do I have what it takes? You know, when I think about all this, then I go into a tailspin. And my wife knows, sometimes I get into a funk. I don't want to talk to people and I get depressed, I get moody, I get anxious and all that. And even as I prepare this sermon, God is speaking to me. How big is your God? How big is Emmanuel? Is Emmanuel only baby size? Is Emmanuel only adult human size? Or is Emmanuel the size of the one that holds all the stars in space that even the James Webb Space Telescope is not able to see? That is how big God is. And with that, he says, my name is Emmanuel. Will you trust in me? Am I big enough for you? That's what the Lord is saying. So this Christmas, even myself, I'm turning to the Lord. I say, Lord, be my Emmanuel. I need you, and you are big enough for me. But I want to close with Emmanuel's compassion. The word compassion means to be able to feel what another person feels, but not just to feel and then go away, but to feel and then do something about it. That's called compassion. And I want to thank God for SGSN because the Lord has poured His compassion not only into our lives, but has shown us how to have compassion upon others. Through our ministry in a nursing home, through our ministry in Dover, through our ministry as far away as Nepal, Timor-Leste, God has shown Himself to be, for us, a God of compassion, and we are following in His footsteps. But make no mistakes, brothers and sisters, though we are able to show compassion for the weak, we ourselves, we need Emmanuel's compassion as well. Christ came as a suffering servant in order that He may stand in our shoes. God was not born as man in a palace. He was not born in a place of comfort and of authority and privilege. But instead, He was born in one of the poorest places in the world. Not only financially poor, but even spiritually poor, even politically poor. I don't know how many of you realize, but the Bethlehem that Jesus was born into was not under Jewish control. It was, in fact, under Roman control. And the Roman, as with any empire, all they want is their own agenda. They care very little for the local population. And in that place where people are marginalized, when people are suffering, when people are poor, when people are misunderstood, when people are made to be as small as possible by the powers that make themselves as big as possible, Christ came as Emmanuel to stand in our shoes. And this was foretold even in Isaiah chapter 53, the chapter of the suffering servant. And this is how He is described. He grew up before Him a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. That is the environment. And out of the inhospitable, dry, thirsty, lifeless environment, life came forth. That's how Christ came to us. In Himself, in His external form, He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. He will not be a model. He will not be the one that you pose with for photographs with. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. In fact, He was despised and rejected by mankind. You imagine Mary, Joseph, Mary being very pregnant, the donkey being very tired, going from inn to inn to inn. And everywhere that they went, no fully booked, no, there's no space, go next door, no, our house is full. Everywhere that they went, there was no room for them. It is in that place of desperation where no one was welcoming Him. In that place, He was born. A man of suffering. If you read the Gospels carefully, you'll find that Joseph is not mentioned anymore after that trip to the temple at Jesus, where Jesus was 12. Next thing where you know Jesus was a grown man, we see the Bible talk about Mary, Jesus' mother. We see the Bible talks about Jesus' brothers and sisters, but we don't hear about His father anymore. Imagine what it means to be fatherless. Imagine what it means to be poor. Imagine what it means to be undefended when we are facing the world as the oldest child in the family. We call it adultification, where children grow up too fast because of the need, because of no one to play that role. Jesus has been in that place, taking responsibilities way beyond His ability to take. A man of suffering, familiar with pain. There's no greater pain than the pain of betrayal, the pain of being misunderstood, the pain, even finally, of dying on the cross, of being whipped, of being hit, of being humiliated, spat upon. Like one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised and we held Him in low esteem. Mockery, raised up on the cross with a title placed above His head, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Not written to praise Him, but written to mock Him. And not just to mock Him, but to mock His entire race. You miserable people, look at what we have done to your King. That was the humiliation. So if you are going through some hard times, whether it's any of these things below here on the slide, stress, burden, unappreciated, misunderstood, suffering in pain, facing an uncertain future, and we say to God, God, you will never understand. Let me tell you something today. God understands. God understands better than you think He understands. God understands far more than what you are experiencing right now. Whatever you're going through, you have not reached a point of being spat upon. You have not reached a point of being nailed to a cross. You have not reached a point of being stripped naked and just deprived of all dignity whatsoever. But He has. He gives us no right and no opportunity to say He doesn't understand. Because whatever we have been through, He stood in our shoes. There are times I feel tired. There are times I feel I cannot carry on. But when I turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, it says, and Jesus loved His own, and He loved them to the very end. That very end only ends on the cross when He says, it is finished. So when I feel like giving up, I look to Jesus, and Jesus says, I didn't give up. I'm Emmanuel. I am with you. I haven't given up. So don't give up yet. Don't give up yet, because I'm with you and I haven't given up. So this is the Emmanuel that we talk about. This is the Emmanuel who brings us peace. His name shall be called, we have looked at, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be called Mighty God. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. And finally, His name shall be called Prince of Peace. And Jesus said to His disciples before He went to the cross, He says, peace I leave with you. Shalom I leave with you. My shalom. Jesus' shalom He gives to us, not as the world gives. The world gives shalom by distracting you from what is troubling you, by entertaining you, by medicating you. Jesus, the way He gives shalom, He steps into the trouble with you. And He says, let's carry this together. He doesn't take it away from us, because He knows if we take it away today, tomorrow you'll be back again. But Jesus says, instead of taking the troubles away from you, let me stand with you in the troubles. Because if today you have trouble, I help you carry. Tomorrow when you have trouble, I am still there. I'm everlasting. I will still help you carry. So very often people pray, take this away from me. Is it difficult for God to do that? No, it's not. God is big. But what God takes away from you today, tomorrow, the world will put it back upon you. Your habits, your culture, your environment, even our DNA will bring us back into trouble again. So God answers prayer not primarily by taking things away, but God answers prayer primarily by saying, I am Emmanuel, God with you. The trouble you are in, I'm in it with you. The tiredness that you are in, I am with you. Let me carry that with you. The danger that you're about to face, I am with you. I will face it together with you. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, I will give you rest. How does He give us rest? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. In other words, Jesus doesn't take the burden away. In other words, He gives us a different yoke. A yoke is a piece of wood that helps this ox or this buffalo to pull the load, to do the work. Now, there are two kinds of yoke. There's a single yoke, and I'm not talking about mooncakes here. Yoke, Y-O-K-E, not Y-O-L-K. Single yoke. Okay. Single yoke is a kind of a mechanism to be put onto one single animal. So this single animal will pull the load, will do the work by himself. It's a single yoke. But Jesus said, no, don't do that. Don't take that yoke. Let's change the yoke. Let's change it to a double yoke. Okay. Swang huang. Double yoke. But why is it a double yoke? Because there is space for two animals, right? To do the work together. And Jesus says, take my yoke, learn from me. And that yoke is Jesus doing the heavy lifting. Jesus doing the hard work. And we are going along just to learn from Him. He is gentle, He is lowly. He will not drive you. He will not push you. I used to have a friend who was very athletic, very good in badminton, squash, anything that uses a racket. And he tried to teach me, but he was not very successful because his way of teaching me is to smash me. And when I play squash with him, I tell him I literally flat on the squash court. Nowadays, no more squash, right? But the squash ball is so fast, and he played really fast. And he thought that by showing me, you know, what a good squash player would be like, you know, that I would somehow be able to learn from him by osmosis. That didn't happen. Jesus is not like that. Jesus says, take my yoke, learn from me. I am gentle. I am lowly. Lowly means humble. I can understand your weakness. My friend didn't understand my weakness. That's why he hunted me. After all, I said, don't play with you already. I play with people at my standard. Jesus is lowly in heart. You will find rest. So that we can do the work that we are able to do, which is like 5%. And Jesus takes the other 95%. We were just talking to one of my colleagues just now, you know, we say, oh, I don't know how the year will end up. And then we say to each other, no, don't worry, God will provide. God will provide everything, the strength, the manpower, the resources. If God wants us to do it, He will provide. Amen. And we are there just to go along. We are part of it. We do have a participation, but He is the one doing the heavy lifting, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the meaning of shalom, brothers and sisters. Shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, means that whatever we need, He is there. And this is a picture that says to me that we need not be afraid of whatever the future may hold. This is from the story where the disciples were crossing the lake and there was a huge storm and the boat was going to sink. And Jesus appeared to them, and they were frightened. You know, the boat is going to sink. Jesus comes and says, oh no, I'm very frightened. The boat is going to sink. Oh no, Jesus comes. Oh no, I'm very afraid. It's a ghost. You know, essentially, I'm wondering, these disciples, either the boat is going to sink, you're going to die, or you see Jesus coming, oh, it's a ghost. I don't know. I don't understand. But maybe it's human. If you see someone coming in the dark, maybe instead of being frightened of the waves, now you're frightened of the evil spirits. Hear the reassuring words of the Lord. The words of Emmanuel, God with us. The words are, take heart. I am not a ghost. I have not come from the deep to claim you, to bring you to the bottom of the sea. I have not come to destroy you. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. So this is where we are today, my dear brothers and sisters. Jesus was not born as a little baby, to remain a little baby, cute, but otherwise quite useless. Jesus came to be Prince of Peace. Jesus came to be Mighty God. Jesus came to be Everlasting Father. Jesus came to be our Wonderful Counselor. I want to close with this verse, Psalm 16, verse 11. This is what the psalmist says to the Lord. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So today, as we celebrate Christmas, as we worship our Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, do not be afraid that He has come to judge you. Judgment will come, but only if we reject Him. But today is a day for salvation. Yeshua saves. Come to Him. Come to Him who is big. Big enough for you and all that you are facing. And yet, accessible enough. Come to Him who is compassionate. He who knows what you are going through. And who will step into those shoes with you. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. As you come into the presence of the Lord today, if there's any one of us, today the Lord is speaking to you and He's challenging you. What is your understanding of Emmanuel? God with us. What is your experience? What are you afraid of? Are you able to embrace Him? Are you able to hold on to Him and say, Lord, hold on to me that I may not be afraid. Lord, you are standing in my shoes. Thank you for understanding. Let me take your yoke. Let me walk with you that I may not be burnt out. Lord, you are big. You are everlasting. Lord, in you I put my trust. Not just on Sunday, but especially from Monday to Saturday. Lord, I want to know you. I want to live in you, in your presence, day by day, 24/7, as God with me, Emmanuel. If that's your prayer today, just want to ask everyone to just respect one another, keep our eyes closed. This response is only for God to see. If you say, yes, God, I want you to be born in my heart as Emmanuel, God with me forever. This is my prayer. Will you just raise your hand and very quickly put it down again? Just lift your hand and put it down again. Yes, I see your hands. Yes, anyone else? Yes, thank you, my young friend. Anyone else? Say, God, I want to know you more as Emmanuel. Yes, Lord. Thank you, sister. I don't want to know you just intellectually, just superficially, just as a matter of saying. I want to know you in the depths of my heart. I want to know you in a place where I know that nobody can take me away from you, Emmanuel. Is there anyone who hasn't raised your hand? You want to raise it now? Now is the time. Just raise it up to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, here we are. On this beautiful Christmas day, where we realize that the helpless one is not a little baby, but the helpless one is each one of us. Because as we navigate the seas of life, as we go through the seasons of childhood and adulthood and family and responsibilities and aging and even illness. Lord, as we navigate through all these seasons, oh God, Lord, it's so easy for us to get lost. It's so easy for the evil one to say, what can the little baby do for you? But today, we remember that you are wonderful counselor. You are mighty God. You are our everlasting Father. And most of all, no matter what circumstances we are in, you are our Prince of Shalom. Prince Peace. So Lord, today, we yield to you our hearts. Let our hearts be hidden in your heart. Hold us in your strong hands. Remind us what we forget so easily. When we want to run the race of life by our own strength, remind us to learn from you, to take your yoke, a yoke for two, not a yoke for one. So that Lord Jesus, as we journey through life with you, with us, Lord, in our weakness, your power will be made perfect. In our smallness, your bigness will be manifest to the whole world. And Lord, in our feebleness, oh Lord, we will see your strength. Thank you, Father. This is our prayer. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. This morning, as we worship the Lord, we have a little gesture that we can do together. And as you came in, you would have received a little slip like this. It says, make a special prayer offering to the Lord this Christmas. And there's a verse in Revelation chapter 8 that paints a beautiful picture of our prayers, your prayers and my prayers, rising up into heaven as sweet incense, which God collects and holds in golden bowls. In other words, whatever you want to say to God, whatever your cry for help, whatever your prayer of thanksgiving is precious to God, whatever your confession of faith, God holds it dear. So we have created this little slip so that you may take a moment right now as the music continues to play. We're just going to take a minute or two for you if you wish to write a simple prayer to the Lord. And you can write a simple prayer, whatever you want to say to the Lord with the pencil that you have received, maybe in response to the sermon, or maybe you have a need in your heart, or maybe you have a resolution that God is leading you to trust Him more. I want to invite you to write that prayer on this little slip of paper. And as you write that prayer, do it as an act of faith. We are not doing this to collect information. We are not trying to pry into your private life. We are doing this as an opportunity so that we can put what we have heard today, what we have sung today, into action. So I'm going to give you a moment to do that. And if we have a song, then this will be a great time for us to just be in the presence of the Lord to worship Him together. This Christmas, I pray. And you just write your prayer, whatever that prayer may be. I will be quiet for a while. If you need a pencil, please raise your hand. If you have not received a pencil as you come in, please raise your hand. Yes, we need a pencil somewhere. This little boy at up there in the middle there. Anyone else? Yes, we have some pencils coming. Let's do this as an act of faith and in response to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus Emmanuel. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you're not far away. You're on our lips. You're at the tip of our pencil. You're at the front of our thoughts. You are everywhere. Even in the dark.
Little children, we were dreaming of Christmas.
Yes,
you call the kids and toys. We knew we'd find.
Thank you.
But we never realized, baby boy, one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We are the reason that He gives us the power. We are the reason that He suffered and died to a world that was lost. He gave all He could give to show us the real reason to live. And as the years fall, we learn to worry about gifts. The giving of ourselves and world that on my knees come and tell us and the world is eternal. The men of the riding me the rains because of that love, because of love, love. We are the reason it begins to love. We are the reason that is
sun. Thank you, Jesus.
To a world that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us the reason to live.
And as you have finished writing your prayer, there are two things you can do. I leave it to you to have the freedom to do one of the two things. You can keep this with you in your wallet. And you can take it out from time to time and look at it to remind yourself of this prayer that you prayed on this Christmas day. Or the other thing that you can do, and it is for the whole body of Christ to rejoice together. You can, on your way out after the service, drop it into one of those golden bowls as an act of committing it to the Lord as the whole body of Christ. You don't have to write your name, but we will rejoice to see the prayer that you have written. And if you would like someone to talk to you further, to maybe to explain a question or to come alongside you, to be Christ with you in community, then by all means, write your name and your contact number and we will reach out to you and we will pray further together. So together, let us make this a really very special Christmas. Christ with us, God with us, Emmanuel. God bless you.